All right, let's grab our lesson tonight. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit, lesson number 2 tonight in discipleship 3. I was going over and just reviewing the lesson today a little bit, and this is, well, there's a lot in this lesson, and it really only scratches the surface of the importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And so tonight we are going to go through the booklet and make sure that you get the notes so that you have those in your booklet and are able, if the Lord allows, to work with someone else on these things. So we're going to hit those things here. I know that much of this material is familiar to many of you. But also along the way, hopefully, we can just talk about, sometimes there's the doctrinal aspect of what the scriptures say to be true of the Holy Spirit, of the Lord, and then there's the practical outworking of how does this work in my life on a daily basis, or how does this work throughout my life as a believer. And so I'll try to maybe touch on some of those things as the Lord leads tonight as we go through this lesson, and I hope that it's a help to you. So let's go ahead. We may look in the scriptures at some things tonight. In fact, we will start in Colossians chapter number 3. So if you want to grab Colossians chapter number 3, I think for the most part, we'll just take the references. I believe when we put this together that most of the references, we place them in the booklet, but there's some that I'd like to add tonight just for our church family. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can be here on a Wednesday night, and Father, thank you for the week that you've given us. Your word says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And Father, there's a lot that this world puts on us that are things that we cannot rejoice in. And there's things that the adversary throws our way, our own flesh, and this world throws at us, Father, that are not worth rejoicing. But in you, Father, there's much to rejoice over. And so, Father, tonight, I pray that you'd help us to rejoice over having the truth of your word. And God, I pray that you'd help us to rejoice over the fact that you've given us a church family that we can come together. We know, Father, that we can bring these requests to one another. We know that we're going to pray for one another, Father. And God, we can rejoice over the fact that you've saved us. We can rejoice over the fact that we know our prayers to you, Father, are heard. We have a God in heaven who hears us. And so, God, there's much to rejoice over here tonight, and I pray that this lesson would be a help to us, and you just guide me even as I go through it, but add things to it tonight. I pray that it'd be a help and a blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, lesson number 2, as we're starting discipleship 3 here. Going to start directly from the booklet tonight, or from your handout. Lesson 2, the Holy Ghost, introduction. In this lesson, we're going to cover the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. He's also known in the scriptures as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is found throughout the Bible. From Genesis 1:2, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters," is what it says there, to Revelation 22, verse 7. I believe that's the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." He's throughout the scriptures. He's constant in the scriptures. When we talk about the Holy Spirit in your booklet, this is one of the most misunderstood doctrines in the Bible. Misunderstood doctrines in the Bible. With the Holy Spirit, we have witnessed two extremes. Those who attribute their irrational behavior to him, and those who have almost completely negated his important role in the life of the believer. Both are incorrect. Remember that the Holy Ghost is a person. He is just as much God as God the Father or God the Son. Because of his humility, Many people think the Holy Spirit to be less than God. This is not true. The Holy Spirit is God. I think we saw that last week when we looked at the Trinity of God and the Trinity of man. We'll see it again here tonight. The Holy Spirit is God, and he possesses divine attributes that only God himself possesses. And I think we'll see some of those here tonight. So last week we talked about the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one, 1 John 5:7. How man was made in the image of God as a tripart being. I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we talked about that. We understand, and we'll even see in this lesson, that God is omnipresent, right? And is everywhere. But geographically, God places himself in certain places, okay? He has the ability to be everywhere. He knows all things. His presence is there, but geographically, he places himself in certain areas. For example, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Let me see here. When we talk about God the Father, geographically, we know him to be where? In heaven, right? Verse number 3. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of what? God. So geographically in heaven, but also in that same verse, we see where Christ is, right? Geographically. Christ, at his ascension, he ascended to the Father, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, right? We see that in the text, right? When it comes to the Holy Spirit's presence and geographically is here on earth. Look here at John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. And I think that this is important to understand because of those who seem to undersell. That's a little better, but still not quite there. Diminish the Holy Spirit's ministry today. Look here at John chapter 16 and verse number 3. Howbeit, Christ says this, when he, the Spirit of truth, what? John, I must have said the wrong reference because you're not there. John 16:13. What did I say? Okay, I said it wrong. Yeah. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, what? Is come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. But he will show you things to come. Well, we know that the Holy Spirit of God was in the Old Testament, right? We read that throughout the Old Testament. He would come on a man and he would come off a man, right? We see that with Saul and with David. But he is sent, as we know in the New Testament, he is sent to permanently indwell the believer. We'll see that in this lesson. But his real dominant ministry really begins with the church age, if I could say it that way. When the Holy Spirit is come, he is leading the church age ministry. Look here at Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. So Christ, at his ascension, he tells his disciples, the apostles, to wait at Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost does come on them. You're familiar with the verse. Verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the what? Holy Ghost is come upon you. And then that turns out with the manifestation of them, they have great boldness to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That, of course, happens in Acts chapter number 2 on the day of Pentecost. And so the Holy Spirit, especially when you look in the book of Acts, he is spoken of many times. You see Paul being led of the Spirit, being directed of the Spirit, and then he's mentioned throughout Paul's ministry in relation to leading us in this church age. We're indwelled by him, but also are led by him. That is this. We'll see this on Sunday. In second, although the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament, the dominant thing in the Old Testament was the law. 2 Corinthians 3. People look to the law. In the New Testament, the law is done away. Paul tells us that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so he takes a more dominant role in the New Testament in the life of the believer. Now, when we get back to the text here tonight, or back to your booklet, the deity of the Holy Spirit, what do we know to be true of him? I'm going to breeze through this because I think we covered this last week. The Holy Ghost is the third member of the Trinity. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. B, the Holy Ghost is equal with God. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the lands? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto what? God. And so to lie to the Holy Ghost is to lie to God. And Ananias and Sapphira lied to God when they lied to the Holy Ghost. And so he was involved in statements that they were making. There was communication there with the Holy Ghost. C, the Holy Spirit is the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So the Holy Spirit is God himself, just a different personification of God. And we covered a lot of that last week. Now, attributes of the Holy Spirit. And these are attributes, there are many, but these are attributes that match attributes. When we say attributes of God, these things are true of the person of the Holy Spirit. A, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. If you're not familiar, that's present everywhere. Where do we get that from? Psalm 139, 7 and 8. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, the psalmist says, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Wherever a person may try to hide, God's Spirit is there, is everywhere at the same time. Notice also that hell is not separation from God, as some would have you believe. There is no place in the universe where God is not. B, the Holy Spirit is omniscient or all-knowing. There is nothing that God does not know. We often try to educate God on different situations in our life. But we must remember that he already knows all about it. Do you ever try to do that? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, the Holy Spirit is omnipotent, all-powerful. There's nothing that God cannot do. Job 26:13, by his Spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. The Spirit of God is the one that garnished the heavens. The power of the Holy Spirit was present and working at creation. I think we saw that last week, and I just quoted it. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters in creation. And then D, the Holy Spirit is eternal. So also an attribute, of course, of God. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the what Spirit? The eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. E, the Holy Spirit is an intercessor in our prayers. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I love that part of the verse. He's the comforter. God sent him to help us in our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so he helps us in our prayer by interceding for us when our infirmities confuse us in our prayers. He tells God what we really need. He helps us. And I'm thankful for that, because there have been times when I've gone to him in prayer and it's hard to vocalize exactly. It's like you don't even know the right words to say. Right? But when you humbly approach God and, Lord, I don't even know what to say. My heart cry. You know, and you're just kind of stumbling over your words. He helps in that. And God knows our hearts. When we talk to God through prayer, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Now, the Holy Spirit, his relationship, see, to the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit's relationship to the Scriptures. A, he is the author. 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost on a man, and they spake, and what they spake were the Scriptures. You can also see, for way of example, 2 Samuel 23:2 and Acts 1:16. We're not going to look at those tonight. B, he gives inspiration. Psalm 33 and verse number 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God's word and breath made things. And Job 33:4 tells us that the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. And so that's Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Inspiration literally means God breathed. And so God breathed on man, he gave him life. And when God breathed on the Scriptures, he inspired them, and the Spirit was active in that as well. C, he is the interpreter and teacher of the Scriptures. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You're familiar with 1 Corinthians, or in your own time, you can read that 2:11-14. I believe that's the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Without the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit who reminds us of other passages of Scriptures that tie things together and teach us line upon line, precept upon precept. And so without the Holy Spirit, we're not able to comprehend the things of God. And that's why the lost world makes a mess of the Scriptures and misquotes it. And, you know, the lost world's favorite verse is, judge not that ye be not judged, right? And they just throw things out like that, you know, and they shall beat their spears into pruning hooks or what, plowshares, right? You know, and just dispensationally a mess, right, with that stuff. And so we need the Holy Spirit to teach us the things of God. It's him who gives us the ability to understand the things of God. And so when you hear from him in your life, because of his relationship with the Scriptures, because we're going to talk about being led of the Spirit a little bit and walking in the Spirit, when you hear from him, it will be consistent with the words of God. Okay? It'll be consistent with the Word of God. 4, the personality of the Holy Spirit. So he is a person, he has a personality. He has a will. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And the context of 1 Corinthians 12 is gifts used in the body of Christ and the way that he gifts different individuals. And he knew what he was doing. He divided to every man severally as he will. And he knew what he was doing when he gifted you. And he wants to help you use that gift correctly. Okay? B, he can love. This is about his personality, and thank God for that. Romans 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so I'm kind of jumping ahead here a little bit, but you know what that means in our life, that is that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That means that, you know, the hatred in our heart, the hatred in our tongue, that's not from him. That's from us. And he doesn't lead us to hurt others. He's grieved by that. And see, it actually says, and let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4, speaking of the Holy Spirit, not only can he love, he can be grieved. Look here at Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 30 is in your booklet. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And in the context, he gives us a list of several things that grieves the Holy Spirit's working in our life. Look at verse number 25 of Ephesians 4, where he says this, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So when someone is grieved, what do? They generally withdraw, right? You ever, or they often go silent, right? You know, like when you get grieved, like you see something and you're just like, I can't believe I just saw that, or I can't believe I just witnessed that, or I can't believe that man would do, or maybe it's even grieved about yourself. I can't believe what I just did, right? I can't believe what I just said. I can't believe how I just acted, right? Let's get a little bit closer to home, right? Right, and what do? You just kind of hang your head, and you just kind of want to, right? Hide. You just kind of step back, and you just kind of, right? You're not boisterous. You're not loud, and so the Holy Spirit, he's given to us by God. He's there to lead and guide and direct us, and to bring things to our remembrance, to guide us, and when he's grieved by sin in our life and grieved by these things that we're going to look at here, then he just kind of, okay, that's what you want. You want to lie? Okay. You know, man, you're lying right now. That's what he does. You're lying right now. I wish they wouldn't lie right now. I wish that they'd just tell the truth. Right? And so he's not saying anything, right? You're not, and it's times like that where he goes silent. We don't hear from him. Verse number 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So unchecked anger. He says it again down in verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. That clamor, that's loud and boisterous stuff. That's another thing that's very anti-Holy Spirit, loud and boisterous type stuff is against his character. But that wrath, that unchecked wrath, there's an appropriate place for anger. We see that in the scriptures, Christ and others, where it was held in check and it was righteous indignation, we often call it. But that can go too far in our lives, and that grieves the Holy Spirit. Neither give place to the devil. Verse number 28, let him that stole no more. So that can be common theft. Seems like in the context, it's in the, actually, it relates to our work life, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. And so that can be cheating the boss, or, you know, cheating on the time card, or just being lazy, the thing which is good that he may give to him that needeth, or not working with the right intent. Verse number 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. And so just the corrupt communication proceeding from our mouth, that grieves him. And you see it there in verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. And so he's grieved, okay? He can be grieved with those things in our life. And that's why, you know, that's why we talk about sin. And that's why we talk about the scriptures. And that's why we talk about, you know, getting these things right with God. Verse number 30, be kind one to another, forgiving one another, the importance of forgiveness. You say, why do we talk about the importance of forgiveness and the corrupt communication and theft and these types of things? Because they grieve the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And you need him. And you need him, which we'll see here in a little bit, specifically why you need him. Look at, back to your booklet here. D, he can cry out. So he does, he speaks, he can cry out. Galatians 4 and verse number 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So there's an internal communication there that he has and can have with us and desires to have. E, he is very humble. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, that's Christ speaking, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And so he's humble there. It says in the booklet, the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself, choosing rather to glorify Jesus Christ. So he glorifies Jesus Christ's life to us. Paul says, be followers of me as even I also am of Christ. And so it's his responsibility to bring things to our remembrance. The apostles would remember the words of Christ and remind us of instances of Christ, his life and how he approached things, how he lived. That's the Holy Spirit's work with us. It says in the booklet, this is one of the ways you can identify someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit. They will glorify Jesus Christ, not necessarily the Holy Spirit. There can be an imbalance there where it's all Holy Spirit, all Holy Spirit, all Holy Spirit, all Holy Spirit, but you never really hear anything of Christ. And the Holy Spirit points people to Christ, okay, which is a major work of his in the world. We'll see here in a second. But E there, he's humble. And so if we're to be filled with the Spirit, which we see here in a second, if we're to have the fruit of the Spirit working in our life, then that's going to manifest itself in our life. Following him will follow that humility. The Bible says that he does not speak of himself. And so following the Holy Spirit, being led of the Spirit, you know, kind of takes our ego down a notch, you know, and it makes it less about us all the time and less about, you know, we live in Laodicea, the rights of the people, right? And, you know, what are my rights and what is, you know, and I'm going to get what's right for me and I have the right to this and I haven't been treated right here, right? That's not the Holy Spirit. Doesn't speak of himself, right? He's looking another direction. He's pointing us to Christ. So he works in that way. He just will not speak of himself. He leads us in that same direction. And I think that's enough on that. I told you there's just some things I kind of wanted to supplement here just because I know it's Wednesday night. We're in the booklet, but just such an important part of our life here. Number five, the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. So he has a specific, sometimes I refer to this, we'll call this the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the world. And Christ told us in John chapter number 6 that he was going to reprove the world of sin. And so that's his responsibility. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to a lost person. Although the Holy Spirit can and will convict a saved person as well, of sin, right? He reproves the world of sin, of the sin specifically of not believing on Jesus Christ. For this is the sin that will send a man to hell. John 16:9, of sin because they believe not in me. So whether you recognize it or not, the Holy Spirit was at work in your life before you realized it. Right? Because he was instrumental in you getting saved. Right? So wherever you were, you know, just wherever you were when you trusted Christ, you know, you can go back to that experience and, you know, perhaps you're, you know, maybe your heart was racing, you know, and maybe you were thinking about sin and righteousness and judgment and you were fearful of hell and the consequences and meeting God and, you know, those types of things. That was the Holy Spirit working in your heart. And so he was there and working before you were probably even knew that that's exactly what was going on. And he continues to want to work in your life today. B, he reproves the world of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is trying to get the world to see that their own righteousness is not good enough. Because of his perfect righteousness, only Jesus can go to heaven. A person who wants to go there as well must obtain the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I think that's Romans 10:3, if I remember correctly. John 16:10, of righteousness because I go to the Father and ye see me no more. See, he reproves the world of judgment. The lost world should not wait to see if they are good enough to make it to heaven. They have already been judged and found guilty of eternal damnation in hell. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. That's why Christ said in John chapter 3 and verse number 17, I got to say, quote the whole thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten son. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the condemnation is already there. The judgment's already been made. Okay. And then six, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And we've already kind of touched on that a little bit, but there's more here and even more that's not in here. But first of all, he indwells the believer. So, you know, that happens at salvation, but that's important for people to understand that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God when you get saved. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God, what? Dwelleth in you. And so he indwells the believer, so he's there. He's with you, and he's close by in order to lead, in order to direct. B, he leads the believer, or he ought to lead the believer. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is that he knows where we need to be. And he knows what we need to be doing. Right? He knows that. We don't know that all the time. But he knows that. And he knows where someone is right now that needs to be saved. And he wants to put us in contact with them. But when we live a life that's constantly grieved by that, we have no direction, no leading from him, we inhibit him from connecting us. Say, where do you see that in the scriptures? We're not going to look at it, but Acts, I think it says there, Acts chapter number 16. So Paul had made up his mind. He wanted to go a certain way, and the Bible says that the Spirit suffered him not. And then there appeared a vision unto him that said, come over into Macedonia and help us. So Paul was rerouted by the Holy Spirit when he got to Macedonia. Things didn't go so well initially. He was thrown into jail, but it was there that he met the Philippian jailer and where we have one of the greatest statements in the scriptures. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Like if I'm going to have, you know, that's a great bumper sticker. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Right? And we got that because Paul was led of the Spirit. Because he wasn't grieved by the Spirit. When the Spirit said go over to Macedonia, he went the right way. And that's just a bizarre thing anyways. Because you got to wonder if when he was in jail, he was like, what, you know, where's the guy that needs help? He was in the jail. So that's pretty cool. But that's an example of the Holy Spirit's leadership in the life of the believer. He doesn't just do that. He's known as the Comforter. See, so he comforts the believer. Thank God for that. John 14:16-17. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And one of the ways that he comforts us is just reassuring us of our sonship. That would be in Romans chapter number 8. He hath sent his Spirit into us. Romans chapter number 8, I'll have to kind of fritzing out on that one. I got to look at it real quick. We got a couple of minutes, right? I want to make sure I get it right here. Romans chapter number 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah, verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So that's part of his comforting ministry to you, is to assure you of your sonship of God in times when, whatever, times of distress. And he comforts by that. He comforts just by the scriptures, by bringing scriptures to our remembrance, just the right ones at the right time. And we've talked about this before, but just on a real practical level, you'll find that comfort is with that still small voice, that still small reassuring voice that it's going to be okay, that you're all right and I'm with you. Especially when there's a lot of clamorous voices, the most important voices in your life will be the least loud. And the least important things and voices always shout the loudest at you and demand the most. But the Holy Spirit is not that way. And he reassures you and comforts you. And so you got to pay attention to him. D, he seals the believer. That is the protector of our salvation. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. That's a preservation unto the day of redemption. That in and of itself is a comfort. E, he empowers the believer. We see that in the book of Acts, man full of the Holy Spirit and spake with boldness. So we see it for work, but empowers in Romans 15 and verse number 13, not just for work and not just for boldness, but he empowers us in other ways. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so to the life of the believer, he wants to fill us with his joy. He wants to fill us with his peace. And he wants us to live abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. F, he calls the believer to certain works and tasks. That's Acts 13 and verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord, very important, that first part of the verse, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I called them. So God had a specific task, a specific work for the Apostle Paul, which he carried out in his three missionary journeys. It was the Holy Spirit that moved through the congregation and led them to... These are the guys, Saul and Barnabas. They've been faithful ministering here, and now it's time for them to minister elsewhere. Sometimes that happens, but that doesn't always happen. I would say this: if he's told you If he's told you nothing specific in that, he's already told you a great deal. Okay? So if you're sitting around waiting, when's he going to say something to me? When's he going to call me to this? He's already told you a great deal. You say, what are you talking about? Go win someone. Go witness. Right? Be faithful to what he's given you to do. Right? The things that he's already given to you. There's plenty for us to do if we're just in our Bibles being obedient to the word. And so the Holy Spirit isn't constantly speaking. Even when you look in the Old Testament in the lives of individuals, you'll see that the Spirit will speak to them and kind of work on them about something, but it's not like this constant thing. It's, okay, I got this for you, and then you don't see anything for a long time, and then there's another instance. And what is that? And what are the people doing in between that time? They're just doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're just being obedient to the things that are already revealed. Okay? And so that's just a reminder for us, as we sometimes we can get stuck waiting on what the next thing is or what God may have for us. And the best thing to do at that time is just to continue with your life and get on with your life in the absence of a clear direction, because he's already told you what to do. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so he calls to certain works and tasks. He teaches the believer. We talked about that. G, reminds of Scripture or prior lessons of Scripture. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So you've seen this in your life. Maybe a verse comes to your mind, or maybe just, for me, it's a lot of times a partial verse. And then I got to do a word search on it to find the whole thing. Like, it might just have a snippet of it. But, you know, the Lord's also been good in reminding me this. You hear a lot of preaching. I've heard a lot of preaching in my life. You've heard a lot of preaching. And all of a sudden, the Lord will bring back maybe a statement or a specific message, right? And maybe you find the notes on it, or maybe even with the, you know, all the stuff that we have available today, you're actually able to go back and listen to it again. And God did that even for me this week. I was thinking about some certain things, and I needed some help in an area. And then God, and I was going to make a phone call because I needed help. And I was going to make a phone call, and then the Lord reminded me, don't make that phone call. I already taught you this at this particular time. And I was able to go back, and I was able to find what the Lord had taught me, and I was able to review it, and I didn't have to make the phone call and waste somebody else's time. And so, but that's the Holy Spirit that does that, bringing those things to your remembrance. And then H, he desires to fill the believer. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I, he compels this believer to walk in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're either fulfilling the lust of the flesh or walking in the Spirit. There's no middle ground. And then J, he produces his fruit in the life of the believer. And so Galatians 2, 22 or 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And his fruit is consistent with his character, which is the character of God. I mean, you could do a study on the character of God when you look at those things. God is love. God is joy. God is peace, long-suffering. Like, those things are, those, all of those things are true of the character of our God. And so as we yield to the Spirit, as we allow the Holy Spirit to direct us, as we, and let me say something about that real quickly. Like, when the Holy Spirit does speak to you, and church is a good place for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. So the reason why the Lord speaks more specially, one of the ways, in church, there's a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is because you sat down and you're still and you're kind of settled. And when we're frantic and here, he doesn't compete with other voices. And so when you come into church and you've decided I'm going to sit and I'm going to subject myself to the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, he's interested in that, and you've kind of just settled yourself, and the Bible says, be still and know that I am God, and there's the ability for him to just to reach you at that point in time. And let me just say that when he does, our response to that should be, when he, whether it's a reproof, because, you know, he'll reprove you. You know, you shouldn't have said that, you know, or you shouldn't have done that, or he'll bring something up from the week, right? And you're sitting there thinking, sitting next to your wife thinking, the Lord's bringing it to my mind. I wonder if he's reminding her of what I said this week too, you know? But the right response to that is to agree with him and say, yeah, I was wrong. And that was wrong. And, you know, I'm sorry about that. And that was a failure on my part. Would you help me with that? You know, the right response to that when he brings those things to our attention isn't, but you know, I was provoked by, right? You know, so he speaks and he ministers to us, and the proper response to that is to receive that. Okay, so those are just a few things about the Holy Spirit. He produces fruit, and he wants his fruit to be manifested in our lives. And, you know, I think as children of God, we want that too. I don't think that you're probably here on a Wednesday night if you don't want that too. And so very important, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Okay, so that's discipleship lesson number 3. I know we went a little bit longer tonight. I was going to apologize, but I won't. Because it's an important topic. And next week, we're going to look at the family of God and just some truths about that and how we should be with one another. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the chance just to be in your word tonight and to see what your word has to say about your Holy Spirit, who those of us who are saved, you've given to us. And God, we thank you. That was your plan. You said you're not going to leave us comfortless, but that you're going to give us your Holy Spirit, God, to comfort us, to teach us, to guide us, to empower us. Thank you for that presence in our life. Father, I pray that you'd help us to just maintain a sensitive spirit towards it, that, Father, we would listen to his direction, his leading as he leads us through your word. And, Father, thank you for his great help. Your great help that you've given us in this life to live this life. God, truly we can't live it in the flesh. We need his help and we need your assistance. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us as we head into this week, strengthen us, help us to remember even maybe just one or two of the things from the lesson tonight, that they'd be a help to us in our daily walk with you. And Father, truly there are those out there, Father, many people who need the gospel, but some who, Father, they're ready for it and they're searching for it. And I pray that you'd help us to be the type of believers that would be ready for that, be ready to give an answer. And Father, even just have our spiritual ear tuned to the world around us and just to be a willing vessel for you. And God, I pray you bless us as we go from this place tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.